Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, after hearing our text, one of the assigned readings for today, just read from the lectern, we ask ourselves, what kind of Advent or Christmas text is that? Yet the task now is not to answer that question, but to deal with the text. This passage gives us a glimpse of an aspect of life in the northern kingdom of Israel during the time of the prophet Hosea. He carried out his prophetic ministry there in the 8th century BC. Hosea presents a grim picture. The majority of the people of the northern kingdom were guilty of unfaithfulness to God's covenant. As a result, they would experience God's fierce wrath. The situation looked hopeless. But our text has to be viewed against the background of the rest of the book of Hosea, indeed against the background of the rest of Scripture. In doing this, we see that more can be said concerning the people of the northern kingdom. What happened with them is an example of a reality also involving us. For we recognize that in hopeless situations, God's love and power shine through. In these verses, Hosea mainly is condemning the priests of the northern kingdom for their wickedness. To start with, they were illegitimate priests, not of the tribe of Levi, of the house of Aaron. Jeroboam I, the first king of the northern kingdom, as one of his wrong religious innovations, set up a priesthood that was different from the priesthood established by God through Moses. Nevertheless, Hosea in our text focuses on the fact that these priests failed miserably in using the religious influence they did have with the people for beneficial purposes. As Hosea states, the priests rejected the knowledge that they could have had from the Word of God. In essence, they had forgotten, according to the Hebrew, the Torah, the instruction of Yahweh. Thus, they did not impart needed spiritual knowledge, helpful, necessary teaching to the people. Rather, Hosea reports that the priests, as they increased in number, increased in their sinning against the Lord. According to our text, they ate up the sin of God's people. As priests, they took a portion of the offerings of the sacrifices for themselves as food. Yet God calls these sacrifices sin. They were brought by ignorant laity to illegitimate priests at illegitimate sanctuaries without sincere faith and repentance for the wrong motives. The priests also set their heart on the people's iniquity. Instead of trying to turn the people from their corrupt way of living, they relished their sin, knowing that this meant more sacrifices from which they could profit. Again, these verses, for the most part, are a negative word concerning the priests of the northern kingdom. Still, there are a few indications in our text and many throughout the book of Hosea that God also held the majority of the laity of the northern kingdom as guilty. Mention has been made already of the sin of their sacrifices. Hearing bits of the word from their priests, they ought to have demanded to hear more. Without proper instruction from Scripture, they lacked saving faith, as evidenced by their corrupt living. Therefore, the righteous God had to send his holy judgments on the northern kingdom. Hosea writes, like people, like priest. The people were as wicked as the priests, and the priests as corrupt as the people. And thus, both people and priests would be alike in punishment. The judgments of God culminated with the destruction of the northern kingdom by the Assyrians, and many from the north being taken off into exile. Both priests and laity experienced this ultimate shame, this great judgment from God, which was nothing, however, compared to the fires of hell which awaited them. Their situation looked hopeless. We may be filled with disgust and horror as we read Hosea's condemnation of the people of the northern kingdom. But our own situation really was no different than theirs. Conceived and born as sinful, we by nature were rebellious against the Lord. Throughout our lives, we have given evidence of our sinful nature when we have not held to the word of God, specifically the law portion of the word, but rather have transgressed it. No rationalization or excuse can cover up the fact that we have disobeyed the holy will of God. Unable to atone for our sins, unable to save ourselves, we had awaiting us nothing but the fires of hell. Our situation looked hopeless. The good news is that in seemingly hopeless situations, God's love and power can shine through. All people left to themselves were and are doomed, but that's not the end of the story. God, because of his undeserved kindness and his awesome love, sent his Son to become man in order to rescue fallen, wicked humanity. As we look in the manger at Bethlehem then, and see the little baby, we behold the love of God. We also behold God's power, his omnipotence. We see the miracle of the incarnation. We see Jesus Christ, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. We see the Christ child in whom dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Christ growing from infancy to manhood and carrying out his earthly ministry was the world's perfect substitute in his life and in his death, taking the sins of all people upon himself. He made full atonement for them with his bloody self-sacrifice. But if Christ had remained dead, his suffering and death would have benefited no one. With the apparent hopelessness of the sealed tomb, God showed forth his power in Christ's resurrection. God's love and power were demonstrated to the exiles from the northern kingdom. This had been foretold, so to speak, by Hosea's personal life, as reported to us in the first three chapters of his book. At God's command, Hosea married an immoral woman named Gomer, who, after bearing three children, deserted the marriage and committed adultery. However, at God's command, Hosea searched for and found Gomer. Paying a price for her, he brought her back to his home, where she then lived with him in faithfulness. Hosea's marriage illustrates what God would do with the people of the northern kingdom who would be in exile. Even though they had committed spiritual adultery, God in his love would go after them. And in his love and power, he would restore many of them to himself. Using the hard experience of the exile, he would drive them into his word. And through his word, he would bring them to repentance and faith. Faith in God, faith in the coming Messiah. When Hosea first spoke, God referred to the people of the northern kingdom as not my people. But in the future, God would call them the children of the living God, no matter where they were living. He would also bring many of their descendants to faith. What seemed to be a hopeless situation of never-ending separation from God would be wonderfully transformed because of God's love and power. God went after us, who by nature are running away from him, running toward the fires of hell. He turned us around. He converted us through his word, and he preserves us in faith through his means of grace. We who left to ourselves could have no hope, now are certain of our sins being forgiven and of our having salvation. We look forward to heaven and the world to come, because God has acted, and he continues to act in his power and his love with us. Knowing this, we face the new year, and as popularly understood, the new century and millennium with courage. In our personal lives, when we face a crisis which can bring us to the verge of despair, we will hold to this truth from God's word, that with God on our side, no situation is really hopeless. He is able to and will bring deliverance according to his method and timetable. And we can comfort the people we serve with this truth. As we observe the increase of wickedness in our own country and in the world in general, and the growing hostility to the Christian church, we may be tempted to throw in the towel, so to speak, wondering how effective, really, the gospel ministry will be. That's up to the Lord. But who can put a limit to the love and power of God? Even with regard to atheists and abortionists and war criminals and those of false religions. Remember how God went after and changed the exiled people of the Northern Kingdom. Yes, we are aware of the grim reality of seemingly hopeless situations. That's why we celebrate Christmas with true joy. Christ's birth demonstrates to us clearly God's love and power, because of which we always have hope. Blessed Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.